few months ago, so I caught her in the, you know, living room with her back to me, and I was in the kitchen. Thought I'd give her a little test. About 10 feet away, I said, "Darling, can you hear me?" Nothing. I mean, she didn't. So I half the distance. I said, "Sweetheart, can you hear me now?" She never moved. I got right up behind her. I said, "Kathy, can you hear me now?" She said, for the third time, yes. Amen. I told her, I said, life's going to get interesting the day you wake up and ask me who I am. I said, it's going to be fun. Amen. I appreciate that, preacher. I was enjoying your preaching. I thought maybe you can set me down anytime. Guarantee you, I will not be offended. No, sir. I don't do too good in windy, stormy weather anyway. Amen. Don't forget our special offer that you'll find on the back of our brochure, and we give our books free of charge to anybody you know in prison, right there at the top. Be sure to give me their full name. If you give me first and last, they'll throw it away. There's four David Byron Turners locked up in the state of Florida alone. So give me the full name and their number, address, and all that. And like I said, tell me a little bit about them spiritually so that I will know which book to send them. We've been doing this probably 17 years. And our first book, which I give most, of those away, we've given over 22,000 copies of that one book. So God's been good. I don't know last year if you remember, because I can't remember whether I told you about the kissing deacon. Anybody remember the? Yeah. Kathy goes with me when she wants to. I don't make her go. You know, she hops in the car when she wants to go. And she did this a few times a year, and this last year, we went to a church, one of my supporting churches down below Birmingham a little bit, been supporting me 30 years. And they got a guy in there, a great guy, I call him the kissing deacon. He kind of takes that verse a little literal, you know, greet the brethren with a holy kiss. Oh, he really don't kiss you. Shake your hand, he might put his cheek close, and you know, when he turned loose of me, he had Kathy. And while he was going through that routine, he reached over and put three $100 bills in my top pocket. I can tell you right now, Kathy was not comfortable with the kissing deacon. Nope, she was not. It didn't matter. I made her go out the back and come through the front three more times. Amen. Got to give everything every opportunity. Oh, Lord, if you want to do something small, they'd be big for us. Get that little stamp card in the bookcase. Oh, really, everything's got our address. That's what you need. And send us a book of stamps when you fill up to it. We'll put you on our mailing list and send you our newsletter. I guarantee you, reading those testimonies on the back of each letter is worth taking a minute or two of your time. It's from our Bible students in prison Bible school. And on behalf of these students, I cannot tell you what that Bible college means to them. Just can't tell you. And you already know we are not bleeding heart liberals. By any stretch of the imagination, we believe you reap what you sow. We believe the punishment ought to meet the crime, and speedily, according to Ecclesiastes 8, verse 2. We believe in the death penalty. It is scripture. We believe all that. But we also believe that everybody ought to have a chance to hear the gospel, no matter what they have done. Amen. And I didn't have the sense to do that when I was in prison. And, you know, being a car thief was easy in my day. It was innocent America still. Most people left their keys in the car and left their doors unlocked. Me and my friends changed all that. Amen. It's a different time. I got a new book. I really don't have time to write books anymore. I've got a couple I would like to write. But my daughter helped me with this. We just simply took some of our messages. It's called Sermon Outlines for Daily Devotions. And it gives a preacher an alliterated, or Sunday school teacher, alliterated message with all the appertaining verses. But more importantly, it's designed to take one point of each message and do a 5 or 10 minute devotion with your family. If you have children at home, it'll be the most beneficial thing that you'll ever do, okay? And I gave Aubrey-Ann the liberty to use her own illustrations and all that business there. And she's an author herself, and we had a lot of fun with it. I've got this, once again, my memory method out in the foyer. I took a copy of one of my memory sheets, and you help yourselves with those. I'm erroneously accused of having some kind of photographic memory or, you know, special talent or gift for memorizing Bible that nobody else has or few has. And nothing could be further from the truth. Amen. I've got an average memory that is slipping fast. Amen. And I had Kathy in the car with me a few weeks ago, and she couldn't take it anymore. She said, and she takes a lot. She said, David, you realize you ran through the last 3 stop signs. I said, you mean I'm driving? Amen. It's gone that bad. I don't have anything you don't have. I've probably just been working at it maybe a little long. It was important to me when I first got saved. Romans 10:17 said, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so I just started memorizing Bible. You know, in those days, I could, you know, learn 4 or 5 a week. And 2 Peter 1:5 said, add to your faith. And Romans 10:17 said, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I probably hadn't added 5 verses to my list in the last 5 years. I'm just trying to maintain what I've already got and hold it in. And but we've been in prison work 30 years, and we have over 60 prison Bible schools, and the Lord has been good to me. Matter of fact, my new way of, I'm going to save that for later if I can remember it. Amen. God has been especially good to me. And boy, I'm glad to see the church is doing well. And preacher, just in public right now, you let me know after the service. I don't have to come back here every year. I mean, I want to do what needs to be done. If you want me to, I will, and all that business there, but I will not be offended. The church has been good to me. Y'all been good to me a long, long time. And on behalf of my family, I can't tell you. You know, I met a guy, I had to go to my printer in Dothan, Alabama. And then I had to go to Pensacola. And so I decided to go as the crow flies. I went to a little town, don't even remember the name of it, but had one light, one convenience store. And so I got a cup of coffee, and a well-dressed black man got out the other side of the parking lot, and we were kind of converging toward the door in the middle. And he said, "Are you Dave Turner?" I reluctantly said yes. Boy, he closed that gap with his big old hand out and tears in his eyes. And he said, "I just want to shake your hand." He said, "I got out of Bullock County Prison 10 years ago. By the way, that's where we our first prison Bible school." And he said, "I got my wonderful wife. I got four fine boys." And he said, "I've been pastoring the First Baptist Church in this town for the last 7 years." I could tell you those stories for the next hour or two, but most of those stories I really don't know. We'll not know till we get to glory, because they're scattered all over the place. And on behalf of these prison students, thank you. Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. I got a lot of confidence in this church because this is a brand new message. I've never preached. Brand new message. And I've always got to preach them two, four, or five times before I get it right. A preacher, I always pull out a red pen, which I will do today. And I don't add nothing. I just start taking things away. Amen. So bear with me as we go through this, 2 Timothy chapter 2. And look at verse 1. "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Bible said in Hebrews 4, "Come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." That verse can be taken at least two different ways. Find grace, you know, to help, or God will give you the grace to help somebody. Then he said in verse 2, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Amen. Faithful men. 1 Corinthians 4, 2, "It is required of stewards that a man be found faithful." That's every saint of God. That's a command to every saint, is to be faithful. Maybe some of you hadn't realized that yet, but what you're supposed to do when you get saved is find you a gospel-preaching, Bible-believing church and throw your anchors out and get involved in the ministries of that church. Amen. Then in verse 3, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." That's kind of been touched on by your pastor this morning. God moves especially in adversity. Ecclesiastes 7 verse 14 said, "In the day of prosperity, be joyful." Bible prosperity is defined when everything is going well. But in the day of adversity, consider. And that's when things are not going well. Everybody in prison is in the narrow place. Everybody locked up is in the day of adversity. And that's when people really consider God. Especially lost people. I don't know how many prisoners. I'd say 5 or 10 in these 30 years have told me, "Preacher," and they all of them have life without. I'm not getting out of prison. And I've been watching a bunch of them for these 30 years, and they're just as steady as you get. I said, "Preacher, I'd be dead right now if God had not sent me to prison." Said, I'd have never lived very long. Endure hardness. And by the way, you can't get saved. People don't get saved in prosperity. They get saved in adversity. God said in Jeremiah 22:21, "I called on thee in thy prosperity, and thou saidest, I will not hear. This had been thy manner from thy youth, that thou obeyest not my voice." Psalms 34:18, "The Lord is nigh unto those that be of a broken heart, and save as such that be of a contrite spirit. Amen. If you're, you know, lost in there this morning, you are in the right place. It's been my experience when people get in the narrow place and get in adversity, they always think about going to church, and most of them do. Amen. Then in verse 4, he said, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." God said in Romans 13:14, "Put you on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh." Then he said in verse 5, and if a man also strive for masteries." In other words, you want to be more like the Lord. That's all he's talking about. "Yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully." Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6:12, "All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. You can go down to a liquor store. That's not breaking the law, but it sure hurts our testimony. Amen. Then he said in verse 6, "The husbandman that laboreth must be first partakers of the fruit." I'm getting somewhere. Amen. Bible said in Galatians 6:7 talks about that. But he's talking about taking care of your pastor, taking care of missionaries. And he said they're first partakers of that fruit. Look at verse 7. "Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." Bible said in Judges 19, "Consider it and take advice." This new pastor, he was an older man in a country church, and you know, he, one of the church members came up to him and he said, "Preacher, we didn't know too much about sin till you came along." Amen. I want you to consider. Bible said in Judges 18, "Consider what ye have to do." Number one, consider the source. Consider the source. Some are simply crazy that you run into. Amen. Somebody say amen right there. I've ran into my share of them. Bible said in Proverbs 3, "When thou sittest to eat with the ruler, consider diligently what is before thee." I remember the first meal my wife made after, you know, we got married, and she set the plate down. She said, "Honey, I can only make 2 dishes at this time." She said, I can make meatloaf and apple pie. I said, "Which one's this?" Amen. Oh, I brought that gal so far. Amen. Bible, verse 2 said, "Put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man given to appetite." That's the world's surefire, best, and never fail, you know, diet right there. You go out to eat, just stick a knife to your throat, and I guarantee you it'll work every time, every time. I'm going to give you a factoid, right? I read this just the other day. Wives that are slightly overweight live longer than the husbands that mention it. Amen. Don't die on me, that's all I'm going to say about the issue right there. Proverbs 24, "I saw and considered it well and received instruction." Consider the source. You're going to run into some that are just simply crazy. I remember in the first year, I went to a little church out in Arkansas, and it wasn't but a handful there, but that don't bother me. I walked in, and within a minute, a big farm boy come in. He's about 20, 24, 25. He's huge. He's about 6'5", weighed about 300, 350, just big. And he had on his overalls, he had a sheriff's badge on, and he had a set of cap guns on. You know, I mean, this guy was ready to rumble. And I walked up to him. I said, "Well," I said, "how you doing?" He said, "I'm here to shoot the devil and he pulled out his guns and pulled them at the pastor. Bam, 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 bam. I don't think his elevator went all the way up. Amen. I don't think all the fizz, I think most of the fizz went out of his mellow yellow. Amen. The Bible said in Ecclesiastes 9, I considered in my heart that the righteous are in the hand of God. Amen. My first year, you know, I think this is a bug flying around my face. I have to get used to these things, preacher. I went to a little church in Alabama. I don't even remember what town. I'm glad I don't. There was a handful there. The pastor sat behind me, and his wife sat all by herself on the front pew. And which is strange, you know, that's strange. Everybody else was in the back. And anyway, I started preaching, and she started shaking her head. And then, you know, after a little bit, she, no, no, far as I'm going, nope, that ain't right, that ain't right. I don't know why I never went back, but I never did. All I felt like doing was whipping that weasel of a husband she had, amen, the pastor. Consider the source. Then consider the seasoning. I mean, some of them you're going to run into are shallow saints that are compulsive and childish, or senior saints that are cerebrally challenged like me. Amen. Bible said in Hebrews 10, let us consider one another and provoke unto love and good works, exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Consider the saints. I mean, listen, I want to get along with everybody, but you have to consider the seasoning. I was, this just been a few weeks ago, me and my wonderful wife, we get up early and have a little coffee, and I like to build things. I always have. You know, I got four or five projects going on at the house, and I just like to get out and build things, a shed or a playhouse or something. And I was telling Kathy about this new idea I got, and she looked over at me. She said, David, we're getting old. I said, Kathy, speak for yourself. I said, look at me. I am the picture of health. She said, I am looking. Amen. I had to do a lot of considering that morning. Amen. Consider the seasoning. Consider the seasoning. Matthew 10:36 says, a man's foes are of his own household. I don't see many growing churches anymore. It's a joy. A great joy. Brother, you're doing whatever you're doing, you are doing it right. Because most of them are going, you know, the other way. And it's been my experience, most of your problems are not going to come from the world on the outside. They're going to come from the inside. Amen. Galatians 6:10 said, do good unto all men, especially those that be of the household of faith. Amen. It's, older evangelist from the country. He's a country preacher like myself. And he preached, a message, and he kept saying, he called the lepers leapers. And, a young man, young pastor, come up and corrected him. And the old preacher said, oh man, why mess up a good message over one little bitty letter? Amen?
Amen, brother.
Consider the seasoning. Some of them, it's just a different deal. Luke 10 said, he that is not against us is for us. This is an old military axiom that I really like. And he said, you don't make enemies of the good for the perfect. Don't make enemies of the good for the perfect. Psalms 37, consider diligently his place. Amen. Like his pastor, and he had a little black book, and he left it on the pew. And it said, people I can whip in the church. And he had a deacon that was an ex-football player, big guy, you know. And he found that book, and he went up to the pastor, you know, a little pastor like me, wasn't much. And he said, "Preacher," he said, "I found your little book, People I Can Whip in the Church, and I see my name's in it." He said, "I'll take it out." Amen. Yeah, you just got to stop and consider things. Wise. Ephesians 4, 1-3 said, "Walk worthy of the vocation with your call, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Amen. Colossians 3, 12, "Put on as the elect of God, holy beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering. Consider the seasoning." Then consider your situation. It may be serious and a calamity. Or it may be pure survival according to the circumstances. Bible said in Ezekiel 12, "Remove from thy place to another." It may be they will consider. Like this guy, he got mad and he had a gun out and said, "Sir, you are standing where I am about to shoot." Amen. You got to consider the situation. Bible said in 2 Samuel 24, "Consider what thou wilt do, for evil is determined against us." Amen. Consider the situation. I have had some strange things that have happened to me. At first year, especially. I had my family with me. We lived in North Alabama, where we live now, and we went back to visit to a revival or something at our home church in Florida. And we were going home. I had my whole family with me. They're all little, of course. And I was on a long, lonely road, kind of a shortcut, get back up where we're going. And here come a long, older sedan. And it raced up behind me. And then he started blinking his lights. And there was two guys in that car. And anyway, he passed. He passed and got in front of me. And he started slowing down. It slowed down to about 15 miles an hour. And I said, "Kathy," I said, "get my gun right there." I said, "I don't want to." And then he turned his lights off and opened his door, didn't have a shirt on, and leaned down his head about that far from the pavement. He went like that for a mile or two. And then he turned his lights back on, and they disappeared into the darkness, and I mean fast. They were gone quickly. I never did see them again, but you got to consider every situation that you're in. Amen. Consider the situation. Like this old prospector, and he came into town, and gunslinger come up there, and he said, "Oh man, you know how to dance?" And he pulled out, bam, bam. No, he's moving, dodging, bam, 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 click, click. The old prospector put out a shotgun. He said, "You ever kissed a mule?" Amen. Consider the situation. Maybe serious. Maybe something else. 2 Kings says, "Consider, he seeketh a quarrel against thee." That first year, matter of fact, coming back from one of those meetings down there, and we pulled in to a Waffle House. It was full. I don't know what was going on down there in the town, but they had a booth in the back. And we walked back there, had all the kids, and sat down. And a guy come through that door. He didn't have a shirt on. He weighed about 180 pounds. Stout guy, had a big long beard. And it was the strangest thing. He started harassing every booth. And it seemed like there was one man and two women in all them booths. I don't know what that deal was all about. But he was insulting them, it was plain. I couldn't hear it. And it just went booth to booth. And Kathy said, "What are you looking at?" I said, "There's a guy working his way here." I said, "You take this gun." I said, "If it don't work out," I said, "start shooting, okay? I do have a plan." He got to the booth before us and walked back out the door. And God is good. Bible said in Ecclesiastes 9, "I considered in my heart that the righteous are in the hand of God." I went on visitation for the first time with my pastor's grandson. He's our youth leader, doing a great job at our church. They, you know, had 8 or 10 youth come in, and he'd been there about a year now, and he brings in about 150. A bus on Wednesday night, bus on a Sunday, but I never had been on, you know, knocking doors with him. They go every week, and I get to go about twice a month, because usually I got something going on. But anyway, we got in the car. He said, "Brother Turner, you carry a gun?" I said, "Well, I got one in the car." I said, "I don't ever carry one on my person when I'm knocking doors." I said, "That's the last thing I need, to get in an argument with a house owner and shoot him dead in his own front yard." I said, "I'd rather him shoot me dead." And I'm not kidding. I said, "That'd be a good way to go. And somebody could use you for a good illustration for a change." Amen. Consider the source. Consider the seasoning. Consider the situation. Jeremiah 2, consider and see if there be such a thing. Amen. James 1:19, be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. I'm about done, and it always goes in this order. Consider yourself. I mean, in my case, it's usually the same old culprit with the same old culpability. Consider yourself. You consider yourself, then you consider your sacrifice. Amen. And you'll be better if you look at yourself first. Everybody in prison, I've heard the same old excuses, since 1987. I caught this case in Birmingham. They railroaded me in Montgomery. My file partner turned state's evidence against me. And I even have a few of them, and I'm sure it's the case, come up and say, "Listen, preacher, they railroaded me. I did not do this." I asked every one of them, I said, "Did you ever get away with any you didn't get caught for?" They always bow their head in shame. Being an ex-thief, you get away. You only get caught by 1 out of 1,000 times. Consider yourself. Consider yourself. Like these two little boys, and they were in a fight, two little brothers, and finally the dad broke them up. And he said, "All right, I had this thing get started." And I would say, "It all started when Billy hit me back." By the way, that's how most church fights get started also. Amen. Bible said in Luke 15, dealing with the prodigal son, said it came to himself. Consider yourself. There was a prince in France in the 1500s, and it's a small death row facility, wasn't 10 or 12 in there, and called the Arsenal of Toulon. And this prince visited that prison, and the commandant was so impressed that royalty would drop by, which had never happened. He granted him the power to pardon one of those prisoners. And he went, cell to cell, asking each man, "Why are you here?" And he got the same answers that I get. You know, it's always somebody else. He finally came to a man and said, "Sir," he said, "why are you here?" He said, "I'm here because I deserve to be here. And I should have been put to death a long time ago." And the prince said, "You miserable wretch. How can I allow you to stay in this place with all of these other innocent men?" Amen. Consider yourself, usually the same old culprit. Haggai said, "Now therefore saith the Lord, consider your waves." I ain't never got to look far. The only real gift that I've got, and I've had it for as long as I've been saved, is I do have the ability, when somebody reproves me, I will look at myself first. And guess what? I'm usually the culprit. Nathan said in 2 Samuel 12, dealing with David, about that rich man and the poor man, and that poor man had only one ewe lamb, and so the king took his lamb to feed this rich man visiting him. David told Nathan, he said, "That man shall surely die." Nathan said, "Thou art the man. Thou art the man." Job said, "God exacteth of thee less than our iniquities deserve. Consider it." Lamentations 3. He punishes less than our iniquities deserve. Less than our iniquities. Psalm 103 verse 10. He had not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Consider yourself. You get along a lot better. First thing you look at is yourself. I always do. It always happens. I'm always the man most every time. And then last, consider the Savior. Everything else, the Savior make everything else seem small by comparison. Bible said in Hebrews 3, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ. Amen. Consider the Savior. This is a boy, he was fussing about something, and he was in Sunday school class, and the pastor walked by, and he said, "What's going on?" And the little boy was just complaining, and the pastor said, "Son, what about God and all this?" He said, "Well, if you're going to bring God into it," he said, "that makes everything different." Amen. Consider the Savior. Bible said in 1 Samuel 12, consider how great things he hath done for you. By himself, Hebrews 1:3, he purged our sins. Jesus said in John 15:5, "I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing." Acts 17:28 says, "In him we live and move and have our being." Consider the Savior. You know, I used to say, when people ask me how I'm doing, till a few months ago, "I'm doing better than I deserve." I said that for years. I mean, years. I got it from a young man in our church many years ago. Him and his older brother, both were dying of a very rare disease that only about 100 people in the world have. And they were not supposed to live into their teens. And the youngest one, his name was Nick, and we didn't see him often because they were just so sick. They stayed at home, couldn't get out of the house, he was 17, he about that tall, just white all the time. And every time I'd see Nick, I'd say, "Nick, how you doing, buddy?" He said, "Brother Turner, it's better than I deserve." I said, "Well, if he can say that, by golly, I can say that." Lately, I've been saying, as I've told some here, I'm faring sumptuously every day. And I am. Listen, I know the context may not be the best because that guy didn't live the day out. But I didn't expect me to live out of my teens, and here I am, 69, having the time of my life. I'm faring sumptuously every day. Bible said in Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him enduring the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you become weary and faint in your minds. We're doing pretty good when you consider the Savior. Father, bless today, God, these feeble words today. I'm always encouraged when I come to this church, especially here in the last couple of years, Lord, the growth. God, the numbers on the uptick. God, they're going to need some help from the internal strifes that are inevitably that will come. God, help us above all else to consider ourselves and consider the Savior. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.